Okay. Let's call the special session of the Board of Adjustment to order. And this is August 10th, 2020. Ms. O'Connor, would you please go ahead with a roll call.
Chair Dankworth?
Present.
Vice Chair Roach?
Here.
Member Barcelo?
Here.
Member Murphy?
Present.
And Member Perkins? Let the record show we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'm going to read the Pledge of Allegiance. Please join me or just simply listen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, this is where I have to go into some notes that I took. Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to this study session and those who might be joining us remotely. Clearly, the mechanics of today's meeting will be somewhat different from usual. As this is a study session, the board will not be taking any public comments. And I'd like to introduce any council members who are present. I see Mr. Solomon, and since Mr. Solomon wears two hats as council member and liaison, would you welcome to the meeting? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, do you have any comments that you'd like to make, Councilmember Solomon?
If I may, just a few. First, I'm sorry I missed the last meeting. I just had a conflict that was unchangeable. I knew we were in good hands with the commission members on a very difficult question, and I would certainly be inclined to assist if the board were to decide that they wanted to approach some type of state law change regarding historical aspects as a component of potential variances. Also, I was very concerned, and I would address my comments to the town attorney, that there may have been, or some members may have felt, that there was some attempt of outside undue influence on individual board members. And if that's the case, I would certainly encourage our town attorney to look into the matter. And if there was anything that was done that was inappropriate or certainly unlawful, that it be pursued, because the last thing we want is for any of our board members to feel at least bit intimidated by outside influences. That's all. Once again, thank you, folks. It's been a long time since we've seen each other. Thank you for doing a great job, and I'm looking forward to the time we can actually meet once again in chambers.
I hope so. Thank you. I don't know, is Mr. Andrews there?
Chair Dankworth, I am here, but we can't have a lot of comment during council member comments.
I cannot comment upon Mr. Solomon's comment.
Yeah, it would be something we'd probably talk about later. This doesn't even, all it says is council liaison comments. It needs to be agendized a lot more in depth in order to actually have a conversation on anything he was discussing.
Okay, thank you. That's why I'm checking with you. All right. And now, Ms. Ancona, would you please read item number one on the agenda?
Review and approval of the July 28th, 2020 regular session meeting minutes.
1 second, Gina, we didn't do call to the audience.
I had that down as afterwards. Okay. All right. Pardon me. Let's go back to call to the audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the board on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual board members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the board may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. In order to speak during call to audience, please specify what you wish to discuss, when completing the blue speaker card. Ms. Ancona, did we get any notification of people wanting to take part and call to the audience?
I didn't receive anything, no.
Okay, do we know if there is anyone online with us?
Chair Dankworth, there is not, but you may want to let people know how they can raise their hands if they did want to speak online. Or I'm happy to as well.
Would you be able to do that? Thank you.
Sure. So all those joining us online or on the phone, if you press *9 on your phone, it will raise your virtual hand. Or if you are online in the Zoom meeting, if you go to the participants list or look for the more option, you can choose to raise your hand. So both of those will allow Chair Dankworth to know you would like to talk during call to the audience. Thank you.
Thank you. So are we getting anything in at this point? Nothing.
No.
Okay. That being the case, there doesn't seem to be any call. Anyone who wishes to speak, a call to the audience. Let's go right on to the special session agenda. Ms. Ancona, would you read the first item, please?
Review and approval of the July 28th, 2020 regular session meeting minutes.
Okay. Have all the board members had an opportunity to look at the board meeting minutes? I see one, two. I don't see anyone else. Do I hear from anybody else? Mr. Barcello?
I reviewed them. Yes, Madam Chair.
You did. Okay. What about Mr. Perkins?
I don't believe he's in the meeting.
Okay. Well, most of us having seen it, may I have a motion to approve the minutes of the board meeting, of the last board meeting? May I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Madam Chair,
I should have moved. I know I should have asked. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Not seeing or hearing anything. Now, may I have a motion to accept the minutes of the meeting of the last, I'm trying to find my various notes here. Hold on just a second. Of the July 28th meeting.
Madam Chair, so moved.
Okay, may I have a second? Thank you, Ms. Murphy. We have a motion and a second. May I let us have a vote? Do we need a roll call vote for this or simply a vote?
We usually do a roll call vote.
Okay, would you please?
Sure. Chair Dankworth?
Yes, aye.
Vice Chair Roach?
Aye.
Member Barcello?
Aye.
Member Murphy?
Aye.
Motion passes 4-1.
Thank you.
Or I'm sorry, 4-0. Excuse me.
Okay, thank you. Okay, may we have, would you please read the second item on the agenda for today?
Discussion regarding a zoning code text amendment updating the required findings for a variance.
Okay, thank you. And I understand we have a staff presentation.
Yes, that is correct. Thank you.
Very good. May we have the staff presentation now, please?
Thank you. My name is Melanie Sims, and I'm a principal planner with the Town of Aurora Valley. And our purpose this afternoon is to provide information and discuss a code amendment to update the required findings for a variance application. As you are aware, there was a recent case that triggered the need for the town to review the findings for greater alignment with state law. I will be going through each finding during my presentation, and I think you will notice the proposed updates provide clarity in how the findings should be applied. This will help guide applicants, staff, and the board for applying the findings consistently in conformance with the law. Code amendments are considered by the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as Town Council for approval. However, we did want to discuss this amendment with the board as it is critical to your duties and ability to consistently apply the findings. So although the board is very familiar with variance applications, for others joining us today, I wanted to give a little bit of background about variances. So variance requests are seeking to modify modification to utilize existing zoning standards. The Board of Adjustment is the decision-making body for variance requests. The board was established in state law, and unlike other boards or commissions, the Board of Adjustment is quasi-judicial. This means appeals of their decisions are heard by the court, not town council. As such, it is very important that the board takes a legalistic approach to reviewing all cases. To grant a variance, the board must find the request meets all the findings established in the zoning code and state law. As with jurisdiction, the board values the language of the whoever creates pitfall for conflicting with state. As I go through each of the findings, you will notice the proposed code amendments are largely housekeeping to reduce this customization and utilize verbiage verbatim of state law. However, there have also been court rulings as recent as 2017 that provide additional direction on how to apply the findings in conformance with state law. This new information has been incorporated into the code amendment as well, and it really helps reduce the ambiguity existing with the findings by focusing each to the intent of the law. I'm now going to go through each finding. So for the first finding, the existing and proposed language is shown on the screen. The new language for the code is shown in bold caps under the bullet point for proposed. I'm not going to read through each of these, but the main purpose of the change for finding one is to clearly define what a special circumstance is. State law defines a special circumstance as a condition only applicable to the property with regard to its size, shape, topography, location, or surroundings. This language is in the existing code and verbatim of state law. So part of the change to finding one is housekeeping. As a board, because it's already been in code, you have been taking these factors into account. And now it is very clear that special circumstances are only those strictly related to the conditions applicable to the land. The second part of this code amendment, new information. Per case law, if those conditions of the land impact building configuration, then the existing building can also be a special circumstance. So to further explain the intent of finding one, there are two examples shown on the screen. You may remember these images as they were recent variance cases considered by the board. Both were seeking variances to construct a detached accessory structure. The image on the left is a scenario where the special circumstances of the land, which in this case were sloped areas, reduced the buildable area of the lot where the existing home was built. Therefore, the existing home was also considered a special circumstance, and this finding was met. However, the image on the right shows a scenario where although the lot was oddly shaped and had some slopes, there were not special circumstances, including the existing building placement, applying to the land. As you can see, there was area for a detached structure to be built, and in this scenario, this finding was not met. The second finding is directly associated with the first. Similarly, the proposed language, again as shown in bold caps, is largely housekeeping to align with state law and incorporate new direction provided through case law. The purpose of this change is to explicitly apply the special circumstances in finding one to this finding and define who an owner is. So for this finding, the board is evaluating if A, there was a special circumstance from finding one, and if so, was it created by the owner? If an application does not meet finding one, meaning there are no special circumstances, then it would not meet this finding. Or if there are special circumstances applying to the property, the board needs to decide if the circumstances were created by the owner. Per case law, owner refers to both past and current. Ultimately, a current owner should not be in a better position to have a variance granted than the previous owner who may have created the hardship. Looking at the example from finding one, the image on the left meets this finding because the owners did not create the special circumstance, which again, in this scenario, was steep slopes. However, in the second example, the buildable area, which is shown already graded on the image, cannot be used for an accessory structure because a septic tank was placed in that area. An owner, past or previous, created this hardship by choosing to put the septic tank in the remaining buildable area. So for this example, it would not have met finding two. The intent of the third finding is to evaluate if a variance is needed to grant a property right. But what do we mean by property right? The existing code isn't very clear, but the answer to this question is very important as rights vary between areas. For instance, setbacks are different for a large lot residential than those of townhomes. This is why state law provides context by stating a granting of a variance is necessary for a privilege or right enjoyed by others in the same zoning classification and within the same zoning district. This language is added to the finding, which is verbatim of state law, and is used to provide focus for consistent application. The fourth finding is again largely a housekeeping item. So the state gives the board and towns the ability to add conditions to assure granting a variance does not create a special privilege. The change here is removing the word imposes and replacing it with is subject to, which is shown in bold, and that also is language that's verbatim from state law. So an example of this finding would be if a setback is reduced, it would be appropriate to add a condition for the applicant to provide dense landscaping to reduce visibility of a structure. So lastly, the fifth finding is not established in state law. As I stated earlier, many jurisdictions tailor the findings to meet their needs, and this includes adding findings. However, any additional findings must be legally defensible. This finding is a function of constitutional police power afforded to jurisdictions for the protection of public health, safety, and welfare. So even though it is not established in state law as a variance finding, it is appropriate because it's legally defensible and gives the town the ability to factor in public health, safety, and welfare when considering variance cases. There are no changes proposed for this finding. So to summarize, the changes to update the findings to better align with state law and also incorporate the direction provided through case law. These amendments add clarity to assist the applicant, staff, and the board in applying the findings in conformance with state law and to apply them consistently. Again, the code amendment will be considered by the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as Town Council, but we do want to hear the board's feedback and answer any questions you may have. This concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sims. Are there any questions for Ms. Sims from the board members? I don't see any. I don't hear anything.
We have one question from Mr. Roach.
Go ahead, please, Member Roach.
Yes, Ms. Sims, that presentation was very well done. Is it possible that each board member can receive a copy of that for future reference over the coming years?
Member Roach, sure. I'm sure we can get that over to you.
Thank you much. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions of staff? Is there any discussion of the material presented by staff? All right, now here according, and Mr. Spaeth, I do have a question for you and for both Mr. Andrews. In the material you sent over to me, Mr. Spaeth, you had listed whether to call for a motion. It's my understanding that you cannot have motions at a study session.
Chair Dankworth, that's correct. Sorry, that was an oversight on my part. No motion needed.
Okay, thank you. I knew I remembered something from way back.
Sorry about that.
That's quite all right. Is there anything else that we need to address with regard to the material presented by staff at this point?
Chair Dankworth, if I may.
Yes.
But I do want to let the board know that in addition to this code amendment, staff is also working on a proposed code amendment to allow the planning and zoning approval of minor building setback reductions when warranted. So this proposed code amendment will be going to commission tomorrow night for possible initiation. If initiated, it will be discussed with the Board of Adjustment through a future study session as well, since you guys deal a lot with setbacks encroachments.
Thank you very much. Mr. Andrews, I have a question for you.
I'm here to answer it, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. At this point, would it be appropriate for me to respond to Member Solomon's comment earlier?
Not really. It's not on tonight's agenda, the idea of contacting people in advance of a meeting with the possibility of it being intimidating and or a legal issue. That's something we can't have a discussion on right now.
Even though, and here's my question, that's a very generic question or comment on his part. It doesn't pertain specifically to anything that we have discussed in a prior meeting. It's simply, well, it does peripherally, but it is not something that would be on the agenda for today. But because it is so generic, is that not something we can discuss?
No, we cannot, Madam Chair. Today's agenda is a zoning text amendment updating the required findings for a variance.
Okay.
That's very specific, and it doesn't encompass this matter. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, thank you for that guidance, and I hope that at a previous meeting we are going to be able to discuss that issue and obviously have it on the agenda for discussion. Okay, at this point, I would like to have a motion to adjourn. May I have such a motion to adjourn the meeting? Ms. Murphy, are you offering the motion? Okay, may I have a second?
I am.
Thank you. And may I have a second?
Yes, I'll second.
Thank you. Motion and second to adjourn. All those in favor of adjourning signify aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ms. Ancona, how many do we have?
Want to do a roll call.
Okay, may we have a roll call, please, to adjourn?
Chair Dankworth?
Aye.
Vice Chair Roach?
Aye.
Member Barcelo?
Aye.
Mary Murphy?
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you all very much, and the meeting is hereby adjourned.